Do you love dogs? How about cats? On episode 57, I'm speaking with Diane Capo from the Colonial Capital Humane Society, where they are currently undergoing a major overhaul of their facilities. As of this recording, they currently have opened their new cat shelter and plans are underway for the new dog kennel structure. Right now, their kennels are all outdoors, so there's limited shelter for the dogs, especially from the heat here in North Carolina. I hope you enjoy this episode, and please consider donating to the Colonial Capital Humane Society. Cheers.
Yeah.
Like all your words.
Yeah.
You know, that you guys use, because they're so fun. Yeah,
they are.
Pup date and the foster fail, you know.
Well, what we do is fun. I mean, there's a lot of
open cattery, you know.
There's a lot of heartbreak and rescue, mm-hmm. but man, when you can find that perfect family and you have those dogs you never thought would find a home that do, it makes it all worth it. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, hey, let's talk about this capital campaign we got going on. So, you know, because we can also talk a little bit more about the organization. But I really want to, you know, just in case we happen to run out of some time, which happens.
Awesome.
I just want to talk a little bit about this capital campaign we got going on, because what I really want to talk about is the need. Like, why was there a need? So we touched a little bit at the fact that you have 80 cats. And that's what you have right now.
Yeah.
You might have had more cats at some point, I'm guessing.
Well, our capacity is usually 82 to 84.
Oh, okay, got it.
And we stay at capacity.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So you always stay at capacity around 80.
Yep.
And you have 27 kennels, but they're all outdoor kennels.
There's
not one indoor kennel here. So it's probably kind of cruel, but sometimes like if it's raining and she doesn't want to go outside, I'll just look at her and just be like, listen, you could be sleeping outside right now, okay? You just need to go in the rain for 30 seconds and then you can come back into the warm house.
Yeah.
It's probably kind of evil, but it's like my way of trying to negotiate with her, because that's what it is. I mean, they're not getting rained on. There's a covering, but still,
they're very well taken care of.
It's comfortable for them.
It is, you know.
And
especially when it's cold and the heat.
The cold and the heat.
We have fans, but it doesn't touch.
Or if you get windy rain, I'm sure there's some water getting in. I'm sure they're getting a little bit wet.
Yeah, they are. You know, climate controlled is definitely healthier and better for their well-being. So So the Capital campaign started a couple of years ago. We kicked it off officially in October of 2020. We had some very generous donors who left us in their estate, and that gave us a little bit of seed money to get started. Of dreaming about a new facility, something where we could have indoor-outdoor kennels, mm-hmm. we could have more space to do more community outreach programs. We have a surgical suite as a part of our plans to help with low-cost spay and neuters, which we don't have right now in Craven County, and which is what keeps us in business. Just the pet overpopulation program is why we exist.
Yeah, just even like the administrative office stuff.
We had a camper. That was our office.
Right.
And now it's a container. It's like a shipping container is our office for the temporary.
Oh, the temporary.
Temporary while we're building. Yeah. So it's much needed. I mean, we want to expand and do so many other things that we just didn't have facility capabilities to do. We were doing orientations outdoors for new volunteers. So
I know in the camper that they had their little camper bathroom. And when I say bathroom, it's like a camper bathroom. So it's uber tiny.
Yeah.
But the shower is like where they stored all of their t-shirts. You know?
We got creative with our space. We made it work.
I know. It's just like when I got like more involved with like the, because, you know, so we did the video campaign, you know, for their fundraising campaign. And like the more I kept filming things, I'm like, how the hell does this operation run? It's like, I mean, honestly,
grit.
It did. It's just
grit,
a lot of grit.
Love,
yeah.
Determination.
A lot of it.
You know,
it's like an understatement.
Oh yeah, care for these animals. So this dream is just—it's coming true, and it's just so amazing. So we kicked off the capital campaign in October, and the new facility we're building in two phases. So phase one will be, as we affectionately call it, the new cat house. Mm-hmm. It's an open concept cattery with screen porches, and they can kind of go outside and hang out. And we'll have a sick care recovery room. We'll have a quarantine room, which is things we don't have right now. That would be great. So we're building that first, and then we'll move in. We have an old trailer right now that's our cattery, so we'll move them in, and then we'll start phase two, which is the administrative office area. We'll have a beautiful memorial garden, and then indoor-outdoor kennels.
And the where the new cat house is going. That's where the old trailer was going.
That's where old camper office was.
Yeah, got it. Okay, yep. Yeah. And so what you were telling me before the show, that's near complete now?
Yeah, we're probably 2 months out from completion. So we've got walls, a roof. They've done sheetrock. Windows are in.
Wow. I'm going to have to stop by there and just check it out.
You do. You need to stop by. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
And so just in a couple of months, you'll be able to basically take the cats out of the current cat house, move them all in. Yeah. I feel like that's like a funny... day of operation, trying to get 80 cats and not losing any of them. I mean, I imagine you're going to have them like in carriers and stuff, but trying to get all of them and move them in, and they're just going to be going wild in that new place with all the smells.
Yes.
And just, that's going to be a crazy day.
It will be a crazy,
crazy day.
Yeah.
But then once that's done, then
we'll start phase two.
You're going to knock the old one down.
Yep.
And that's part of that area is where the new dog shelter and the other and these other
essentially like where the cat house trailer is now, like that'll be kind of where our office building area is, and then behind that will be kind of a U shape that'll
it's
be
almost
the indoor
swapped
house.
I guess almost like a little bit swapped.
It is. We did it in two phases so we could stay operational,
right no that that
it'd
makes
be
sense.
Really hard to find foster homes for 80 something cats plus all the hundreds of kittens we have in foster care now.
Tell me, actually, when I filmed this back, it was about a year and a half ago, I guess now. It was toward the summer, so it was almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
At that time, someone had mentioned there was still one dog left over from Florence.
River. We still have River.
Oh, my God.
We do. We still have River.
Someone adopt River. This is crazy. This is now close to 4 years later.
Yep.
River
is he's the most amazing guy. It takes a little bit of time to build trust with him. Like once he has his people, he loves his people.
Yeah.
But he, the shelter environment can be stressful for dogs. There's just so much.
If you've been there for 4 years, if I'm in a shelter for 4 hours, I'm probably going to freak out. This poor dog was displaced after the hurricane. Don't know why. I mean, maybe you guys. I don't know, but
we rescued him from a flooded backyard.
Rescued out of a hurricane, and the rest of this freaking dog's life, excuse my French, has been in a shelter. Of course, he's going to be a little untrustworthy. It's like, I don't know. Geez, am I getting into a home and then almost die in another flood, and then go back to a shelter? Yeah. I mean,
he's a little.
Someone needs to adopt him.
I do. He's amazing.
I will not stand this week until this. This dog is. I can't do it. But
he's a little shy,
him.
But he has such a fan club. Like there are, we call them the chicks who walk dogs. There's another one for you, and they are just amazing volunteers. They come out through any kind of weather. There's many days they get walks done for all the dogs in the shelter, and River just loves them. So he gravitates to them. He's a really good dog. He's just a little skittish. He needs to be an only dog, which sometimes takes a little bit longer to get those guys adopted.
Can you go on to what's the fastest way to find a picture of River?
Go to our Facebook page. Actually,
do it on the computer so we can get a.
Yeah,
so,
if you go to our Facebook page and just search River, you'll get a ton of beautiful pictures of that gorgeous boy.
So just go to Chrome. You can open up Facebook. I'm probably logged in. I want a picture of River.
Yes.
In the next 3 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it doesn't have to be 3 minutes. You don't have to work under that pressure. But...
work on it now while you guys.
Okay.
Yes. Awesome. Yes. That was kind of the idea.
I'm
like very upset about this fact that he is not.
He gets lots of love though. He really does.
I'm sure he does. But
and exercise, but he needs his own family. He does. He needs his own family for sure.
I'm sure there's probably been some dogs in the past that have like basically the rest of their life until they're just. Too old where they ended.
The longest resident we had was 7 years old, and he got adopted.
He did. Okay, yeah. Dudley. So how old is River?
River's probably 5 or 6.
Oh, my God. No. So he was only like a year or so. This is crazy.
Yeah. We need to get River
If you're home. Watching this... All right, I understand, if you're watching this and you don't have the ability, because we could not take in a second dog right now. We just could. So if that's your position, I understand.
But share. His photos.
Be heartbroken.
Tell your friends about him.
But then you must share this post or share the post that we're going to find and we'll link down there. But if you are thinking about a dog and you're in a position to maybe take in River and you're maybe the right fit or you want to consider it, you are heartless if you are not at least considering this. He might not be the right dog for you. Because there's a right dog for everybody.
Yeah, there is.
But if you will not at least consider it, if you are just saying, forget it. Shelter dog's not for me. You are heartless. I'm just going record saying that right now.
I cannot. 4 years. This is crazy. Like, my mind's gonna be occupied in this probably for the rest of the day. This is crazy.
We'll find him.
I would be a foster fail every time.
We just had a dog we had had for 6 years. They had been in and out of foster home, and she got adopted. Mahogany. Yeah, nice. So it happened.
So there's some hope.
There is a home.
There's hope for River.
I'm starting hashtag
hope for River.
Yes.
I'm starting that now.
Awesome.
Unbelievable. Awesome. I would be a foster fail every time, though. Every time I foster a dog, you'd be like, well, I guess,
I'm a two-time failure, but I have had some others that I foster. I have had some other ones that I did foster and I did let go. Mm-hmm. So it is possible. It is possible.
So now, actually speaking of which, so, you know, explain to me maybe why, like, someone like a River wouldn't be fostered then, you know, because, like, I guess, if you're saying, like, sometimes he just takes a little bit of time getting used to, would fostering him, would that help him
be a little more trusting? He needs to be a more stable environment, because every time the thing, his environment changes on him, it takes him a little bit longer to come back out.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, ideal home for River would be people that are home all day, like someone that's retired, that just needs a little buddy sidekick.
He might have a lot of separation anxiety then. A little bit. Like going to work or something like that. Yeah.
He's really nervous until he gets to trust you.
Poor guy.
But he's a good dog. He's handsome too. Handsome.
That's the toughest part about this kind of what I'll call business or this industry is that 99% of the times, like, these dogs are probably good dogs. I mean, I'm sure that there are dogs that are just maniacs that just... I'm sure there's no such thing as a bad dog in your, you know, your world. But I'm just... Like, there probably are some dogs that are just, like, a little more temperamental. You're just like, I can't...
Yeah.
The personality just, I can't deal with it. But 99% of these dogs are like... Like, when you go in there, they're all barking. I guess that was kind of... This is kind of the point that I'm getting at. It's like... When you go to, like, the shelter, especially the open one where they can all see you and stuff, they're all going nuts.
Yeah.
They're just being vocal, though. But a lot of people look at that as, like, I might get attacked.
Their personalities are totally different outside of their kennel.
Yeah.
Which is why we have play yards now where you can kind of interact and meet and greet with them and take them for a walk. We love that we're near Creekside Park because you can take them for a walk and get to really
that. Yeah, that was a great
see
option.
See their personality. That's and it opens did. Up when you get them out of the shelter environment.
Oh, my
And we'll
goodness.
Have a lot of play space in our new facility, too. So that'll be really cool.
With Nala, what happened is we took her for a walk to Creekside. But what we did is we walked over to Creekside, which we found was, like, a little bit longer of a walk than we probably thought it was looking down the road. And then so at that point, it was kind of hot and we thought she might need some water. She was really panting a lot and my kid was also kind of thirsty, so I was like, all right, I'll tell you what. So my wife held on to her with my son there, and I just walked back and I got our vehicle. I just said, you know, I don't know if this is okay or not, but I'm just gonna drive her back,
because
it's a little
bit
of a walk for her. So we got her some water, and then I opened up the back hatch and she just jumped right in. I was like, okay, yeah, this is, like, very clearly, you know, a very peaceful. She wants to, like, you know, some dogs you cannot get him into that car, and she wanted to be in that car, you know. But yeah, I think that's a big part of it, though, is seeing them outside. That, you know, they're very protective of that. Like, you know, I guess probably the best way that I would explain it, just from an outsider's perspective, is that, you know, that 10x10 kennel, whatever it is, like, that's the only safe thing that they know, even though it's not ideal.
Yeah.
That's the only safe thing that they know right now. That's where they get fed. That's where they get some sort of shelter. And so you're basically coming in on that one safe, because they have no idea why you're there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know why you're there. You know, they just know that it's a stranger. My other rescue pit bull back in Rhode Island was kind of like that. He was very good with people. I mean, he was a cuddler. I mean, but he was like a 90-pound cuddler. So, I mean, he'd jump on top of your lap and it's just like, oh, I'm being suffocated, you know? But we had a fence in yard, so he would just kind of walk around all the time, and he would just bark at people, and it just, people would get scared because he was a big pit bull, you know, and just there's a stigma, and so people would get a little afraid of it. But it's like, if you didn't show the fear and you walked in, you'd be fine, because then he'd just be wagging his tail and he'd be, you know, jumping a little bit to try, you know, he want to be pet or something. It's just that initial thing. He's just kind of like, hey, this is my area now, and I'm just letting you know, I'm vocalizing, this is my area. But if I find out you're cool, then we're cool. Like, that's kind of how I saw it.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
When's the most recent time that y'all posted about River? Or could you pinpoint a picture and scroll through here?
Did go to the search, the little search button, and just hit River. It should come up. Like, you should see a ton of posts for him.
Go to the very top.
The little search icon. The little search icon in the top corner.
The search for the group. Go all the way to the very top.
Okay, got it.
All the way to the top. Okay, and then there should be a scroll down a little bit. Scroll down just a little bit. There's usually a search button right there. Mm-hmm. So, well, at least on my phone there is. It's usually at the very top. Can you search from the top there? Well, does it say search Colonial Capital Humane?
Nope.
Hmm. I'll tell you what. Here's what we'll do.
Look at all these dogs and tell me what's going on.
That's Levi. Levi's our dog of the week this week.
Here's what we'll do. I will find it and then I'll airdrop it to you. And then I'll have Diane talk a little bit about.
Yeah.
So this all started with the reason why Capital campaign.
So new facility definitely needed that just to improve the well-being of the animals while they're in our care. So we kicked off our Capital campaign in October of 2020. That's River. Handsome River. We were able to commit $500,000 to the project, and we've raised another $500,000. So we're a little over $1 million right now to our project, $1,061,000. Wow. So we're 70% there to raising what we need to finish both facilities completely.
So how many dollars are you away?
We're about $450,000 away.
Okay.
Yeah, we had to raise our goal to $1.5 million just with the labor cost and the materials cost. Our initial project budget has gone up since we started building.
So let's see. I'm going to be buying two bricks. So let's see. That's $300. So there's now $449,700 left to go.
Yes.
So perhaps we can just get someone to make a nice big check and then get a whole bunch of these bricks sold and then a whole bunch of in-kind donations.
Well, we have a lot of really cool opportunities, though. So we have naming opportunities within the facility.
Yes.
We still have a couple of play yards that are available. Mm-hmm. We have the splash pad for the dogs. Mm. We still have one of the wings of the indoor dog area that's available. Mm-hmm. And then we have, those are obviously $15,000 and up for those sponsorships, sure. But we also have lots of ways that anyone can get involved. So you talked about our bricks. Mm-hmm. So in the Memorial Garden, we're doing personalized bricks.
Can you switch to my camera so that if maybe it gets it in focus here?
We have the 4x8, which is $150, and you get a cool little baby souvenir brick in return, and this will be placed in the Memorial Garden. And then we have a four.
Do you get a souvenir brick for each of them or only for the larger one?
Both.
For both, yep. Okay, yeah. And so this is the smaller size.
That's the smaller version. That's mm-hmm. $150, and then we have an 8x8 version that's $250.
Mm-hmm. So it's double the height.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's the way that a lot of people can get involved with helping us with the process project. And then we also are doing a sponsorship for the indoor-outdoor kennels for the dogs, and then some of the containment pieces that we'll have in the cattery, and so those are between $1,500 and $2,500.
Do you have t-shirts available for donation that go toward the Capital campaign?
Yeah, so not specific Capital campaign ones. Uh-huh. We have our regular t-shirts.
So any of those t-shirts, some of those funds are going to go toward the Capital campaign, is what you're saying?
Usually those go for general operating. But we have a really cool event that's coming up on May 1st.
Okay, let's
talk about it. A fundraiser for the Capital campaign.
So it is a fundraiser. So this May 1st event is a fundraiser for the Capital campaign.
It is.
And there will be t-shirts that go
there
toward
it. There will be. Yeah. And I happen to bring, I don't know if you guys can see it, our t-shirt from last year's event. So our event is Pup Crawl. So it's like a bar crawl with your dog.
Kind of hold it like a little bit more toward that. There you go.
Yeah. So it's day drinking with your dog, essentially. So at all your.
Let me kind of fold it up a little bit, and we'll kind of be able to show like what the. So you go to these different.
We had lots of different bars that were on the crawl last year. So we had the Bruin, Blackbeards, mm-hmm. The Brown Pelican. The Garage, who's an amazing partner to us, we kind of kicked it off there. And we just kind of meandered to the different bars around town with your dog.
So
we're doing it again this year. It was a huge success. Everybody loved it. It'll be May 1st, Sunday afternoon, May 1st.
Okay.
From 1 to 6.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Sunday.
Okay, Sunday.
Yeah, all Sunday, right, okay. May 1st. And we're in the process of securing all of our venues now, but we think a lot of them will be repeats, and then we're going to try to add a few new ones this year, but we'll kick off at the Garage again. We have fun little treats along the way for your pup. So your ticket gets you a t-shirt, and it gets you a goodie bag for your dog, and a pup passport.
Oh.
And in the pup passport gives you all of the events that you can take part in. So last year we had a stop where you could pick up a pup cake for your dog.
That's cool.
We had a bone bar where you could make your own little treat bag. instead of a candy bar, a bone bar.
Yeah.
We had raffle baskets at several places. You could drop your raffle tickets in that were in your pup passport. So something fun at every stop. Photo booth. We did Paul Casso paw painting. So you could do paw print art with your dog.
That's
for
cool.
an upcharge. It was a really successful event. Everybody had so much fun. So tickets will probably be on sale mid-March for that. And we'll have another cool logo this year as well for our t-shirts, and hopefully they will become collector's items. But yeah, definitely. We sold out last year. We're going to double the number of tickets available this year, so make sure that you buy your tickets early so that you can take part in the super fun day.
Yeah, I think we're, because we didn't have a, so we adopted her, I think, September 2021, actually, I feel like.
Breaking
no.
Yay!
There's River. There's Look how handsome cute that River. Dog is.
Yes, his St. Patty's Day outfit was in one of our calendars that we did the year before last. We do a calendar every year as a fundraiser for our general operating income.
Nice.
And that's River. Look at him. Handsome boy.
Oh my goodness, and my kid with his little... Oh, I forgot about that. Oh my God, look how... Like, I want to say small because he's just big now, but he had, like, made this little sign.
Oh, I remember that. And you guys made cookies too, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, we made pumpkin based. It was like pumpkin based biscuits.
Yeah,
that's what other dogs like.
Yep.
I'm trying to see. Okay, all right. So that was the day. So that was September 15th. That was the day we took her home. I was trying to see if we have maybe. We don't. Okay, I thought maybe I might have taken pictures. We took her out after to the Bear City Fudge over here. They have like a little pup cup. It's just like vanilla ice cream. So we're like, oh, it'd be like a fun little celebratory thing. You know, we'll just, we'll all go out for ice cream after, you know. I don't think I ever like even texted you about this, but so we go out for ice cream there right after we officially adopt her. Like, you know, because we had her for a couple weeks. Signed papers, like she is now ours. We go to Bear City Fudge. We all get ice cream. And I was like, oh, I'm like, she'll probably like, you know, this vanilla. So we gave her this vanilla, like the little tiny little kid's cup. And then I'm like, oh no, she stopped. I'm like, all right, I got to take the thing away from her. Cause now she's like really licking the thing. But now she's like got the cup in her mouth. And I'm like, she cannot eat the cup. And I'm like, try. But now she's really friendly. However, I do know it's like, you know, if dog is like really want to eat something, you stay away from
don't
that. Do not want to take that from them, no matter how nice they are. If you take away food, especially the day they just got out of a shelter. So she's like eating it. I'm like trying to get her. I'm like, okay, this is the point where I stop because I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose this battle. And the next battle will be hopefully she digests that and it just doesn't become a problem. And fortunately it didn't, but I'm just thinking, I'm like, she just ate a freaking paper cup now. Like the day I'm like, already got a problem here. I'm like, this better not turn into like a, I'm like, we were so nervous, you know, but it turns out she was fine, you know.
Yeah.
Oh. She probably eat a telephone, she'd be okay, you know. But anyways, yeah, so that was our thinking. And then this was
that's so funny.
And this was like her first, this was also the first day. So we had like a little guest bed. And like, oh, there she is. So she likes beds and blankets and nap time. But nap time is basically any point in the day.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
So yeah, so we had a picture of River.
That's
there, though.
Great.
He is a good looking dog.
He's
what,
so handsome.
What kind of dog is he?
He's so handsome. He's a Staffy Pitty Mix.
Staff Pit Mix. Speaking of, you were telling me one other point. You commonly get hound dogs in there. Is that
we
correct?
We do.
Yeah. So that's like very common.
Hounds and pits are the two predominant breeds or breed mixes that we do see come in. Yeah.
And now how, you know, I know about how pit bulls are, you know, it's because we've had a few of them, but how are hound dogs as far, because when I think of, you know, when you think of hound dogs, especially around here, you think of hunting dogs. And so obviously when you're adopting them, you're hoping that they're going to be more of a home dog than a hunting dog. It sounds like that's kind of the reason why they were in there in the first place for a lot of the hound dogs. Yeah. So how are hound dogs, though, as far as kind of like a domesticated, you know,
they're great. They're very loving, very sweet. They love attention. They can be a little stubborn. So we had one that would get a little
kind
lazy. We get a little lazy on walks and would just like, you know, make you carry him back. Mm. So they do have a little, I have noticed that as a common trait of hounds, a little stubborn streak, but they're so fun. Mm. And one of my second foster fails, she is a hound dog mix.
Okay.
And she's, you know, very sweet, very loving.
And they have big floppy ears?
Some of them do.
Okay,
it just depends on,
yeah,
it just depends on the breed and how much, what kind of hounds are in there. So
yeah, there's, I figured with one breed, someone had brought around, they had like, these huge ears, like down
beagles,
to the floor.
Probably.
Maybe it was a beagle. Yeah. Just these huge, huge ears.
Yeah.
So we got. I think the brick is really a good deal. So what other opportunities right now are there? You mentioned a couple of the naming things.
So we have still quite a few naming opportunities, and there's a tab on our website, a campaign tab, where you can see all the things that are still available.
Got it.
And then some of the smaller things are like the actual 10 by the new kennels, the indoor outdoor kennels.
Yes.
So those are 2,000. Each, and we probably have about maybe 10 left. Mm-hmm. So we've sold quite a few. And then in the cattery, we'll have some cat containment. So we have like cat condos, we have quiet cottages for them, some cat towers. And so you can sponsor one of those as well. And those
sponsor the dog ones, please. I'm just kidding. Sponsor them both. I'm just kidding. I don't want to let my own opinions halt the progress of this. Sponsor them both, please.
Yes.
But mostly the dog ones. Yeah.
So there's still lots of ways to get involved, of course, coming out to our events and helping with those as well. So.
Would you say that there are more interested people to adopt dogs than there are cats typically, or is it about half and half?
No, we do more dog adoptions than cats.
So you had some numbers there. So like last year, what did you do for both?
Yeah, for I don't, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't do that. You only have,
but I have like a ballpark figure. So for 2021, we had 879 was our total adoptions.
Total adoptions.
I think 602 was dogs.
Oh, okay, that's the vast majority.
Then the balance of it was cats. Yeah. Okay, and then for this year so far, just in the first couple months, we've done 108. Already.
Wow.
27 cats, 81 dogs.
So 108 through February. So that's, you know, it's a little about like 50 a month, I guess. So What is there a month that you have more adoptions or?
Well, it trails off in the fall
and
Christmas just because of all the holiday events and things.
Yeah.
It's a little hard for people to assimilate a new pet when there's so much going on at the holiday
season.
Crazy, So usually we see through the spring and the summer is when we kind of have
spring and summer,
the most adoptions.
People getting out a little bit more. They also may be inclined to do the walks or you have some of the events like at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
You know? Do you find like those kind of like adoption events, are those like, is that a big draw for, for more adoptions?
It definitely, we always have people that learn about us that didn't know we exist, which is great. And then we always have someone, usually at least one person, sometimes more, that will see an animal and just instantly connect with that
person
and do an application, even though they really weren't thinking about adding to their family.
Right,
so so they're great for visibility just to get the dogs out, of course, and have them, you know, see people. And then our cats are at PetSmart every Saturday.
Okay.
They have a little side building
that
they've kind of opened up to us. And so we do kitten adoptions and cat adoptions for fosters.
Yeah.
And then we always have cats in the showcase as well at PetSmart. So you can always see 5 to 6 of our cats in there as well.
Why don't you think cats are adopted as much?
I don't know.
Just generally like when people think of house pet, they think of dog or?
Yeah. Well, and here's one of my theories. So when you think about the overpopulation problems that we have, cats reproduce a lot quicker and more times a year. And the feral cat, as you know, we chatted about this with you when you moved in your office.
Right. Yes, that's
the feral cat problem is, I mean, it's huge. And part of that's just because we don't have a low-cost spay and neuter option in Craven County. So there's so many more cats.
And cats typically are let outside on their own much more than dogs.
And I think people find cats and bring them in as a pet.
Right.
So then there's not as much need to go to a rescue to adopt because they're taking care of just strays that kind of come up in their yard. So I think that's part of why you see the numbers.
So the part of the problem almost sounds like it's the initial, like I'm going to call this control and containment. So it's far harder to control the cat population and reproducing and because you can't really, it's hard to contain because I mean, I just think of I think of most people with cats, I think some people probably keep them as what you call an indoor cat.
Yeah,
but
and we do, as a part of our requirements, is that you have them as indoor cats.
Indoor cats only.
And, of course,
all
of our animals are spayed and neutered as a part of the adoption process,
I thought that was another fantastic thing, is that you know that she's already, you know, taken care of. And so,
Microchip, spay and neuter.
Yes, and then microchip also.
They'll be up to date on their vaccinations as well at the time that they're adopted.
Because when we did, when we did our Cooper, our other pit bull, I think we had to go get him fixed. So we had to, but we paid for it. That was part of the requirement, but we had to go bring him, and then we also got him microchipped on our own. That wasn't a requirement. And then of course our other dog was a puppy, and so we did both those things on our own. But no, I guess my point is, like, I think that's a major value to, you know, what you're paying for, is that you kind of have this, as long as it's the right fit for you, you kind of just have this pet now that's kind of like ready to go. Like, you don't have to now do all these other things that kind of interrupt your life. Just have to keep up with
the
maintenance from
year, just the year to year. Make sure you keep them heartworm prevention and get their yearly vaccinations and checkups and stuff. But yeah.
That's interesting. So what else have we got going on here? So we have.
So I'd love to talk about our volunteer opportunities.
Yes.
There's so many ways that you can get involved. Obviously, working with the animals is one. So we always need people to volunteer in the cat house, helping with cleaning and feeding and just socializing with the cats. Dog side, we do offset events, of course, and so we need people to help transport some of the shelter pups and be their buddy, be their buddy for the event. So we'll give you some background on the animals so you can engage with people that come up and want to learn about the dog and kind of tell them a little bit about them, show off their best, you know, their best features, personality. And then we also have dog walking, which is on your own time. So our kennel techs are there from 10 to 5 every day. And you can drop by once you've done your volunteer application and your waiver online and take a dog for a walk. Or you can also do what we call doggy day out. So you could take them to downtown, walk them around.
That's cool.
Get them seen, take them to Lowe's, PetSmart, other pet-friendly places that allow dogs in, take them for a pup cup or a puppuccino.
I think the dog walking opportunity, I think that's probably like one of the easiest ways for someone to get involved. Because especially if you're someone that, like, I bet you that would appeal to someone that isn't already exercising as much as they'd want to, you know, because some people like if you're a walker or you're a runner, you kind of have like your like routine and you just kind of like it, you know. But like I think maybe for someone like me, it's like, oh yeah, like I could probably use like, or I know that I could use more exercise, but like I just need to walk more, you know, like I just need to find time to do that. But it's like, yeah, like I think that would be kind of like a neat opportunity.
And it's on your schedule.
It's on your schedule. You just every day, you kind of just show up. You just show
up.
Any
day of the week, once you've done your volunteer app and your waiver, you just show up. There's a bell right now.
You don't need to like schedule it or whatever. You just kind of like, hey, like I need dogs to walk. And then there's probably a dog that needs some walking. And so.
And it's so great for them too.
It's great for them. Yeah, I guess that's kind of my point.
Socialization and, you know, get to get out of the you know, shelter environment for a little bit.
Because they all get their, each dog gets some time in the yard.
They do. They
like
get rotated several times a day for at least 20 minutes.
So they
minutes.
Get to run around, kind of move their muscles and stuff. But that's just kind of, it's not, I shouldn't say by themselves because there's someone else in the yard there. But it's just different.
Yeah.
It's different when you're in a four-walled environment to when you're just now on a leash and just walking around and smelling new things. And you can kind of see people in the park or something like that, you know. They're basically in quarantine, like, their whole life until they're adopted. And so this is like a way to take them out of that quarantine, I guess.
It is.
If you think of it that way. Yeah. So if you can't adopt or you can't, you know, you don't have a donation expense or something, if you have legs, you could probably also, I'll tell you, I will fill out a volunteer application thing and I will do at least one time the dog walking. So I'm going to need you, if you're watching, to also fill an application and do a dog walk. You can do that. That's kind of my point.
It's easy. That's how I started.
If you have 15 minutes, you know, you're driving by James City anyways for an errand, and you can kind of take 15 minutes out to just do a quick little walk. You know, it's a major, you know, it's a little thing that turns out to be a major thing.
Yeah.
So my point is, everyone can do something. You know, everybody says they love dogs.
Well,
you know,
and here's
until
the thing.
It comes time,
even if
to
you're
do
not an
about.
Animal person, but you believe in what we do, you can volunteer at our flea market. We need people to
That's
help with
too.
Intake for the donations that are dropped off, helping to sort them and price them, helping to run the register on the sale days. So there's still a way to get involved and support our organization if you're allergic to dogs or cats, or you know, you love them but you're allergic.
That makes sense.
So there's so many opportunities to help support us. And we do have a vast volunteer network, which is why we're able to get done what we do with no paid staff except our animal care technicians.
I do forget about that too. You know, like if you're like allergic or something like that, I just assume it's just like whatever. If you can adopt the dog, adopt the dog, then you know.
Yeah.
But I could see that. Yeah, I guess people have different circumstances. My call to action is for the people like me. Basically, like I don't got an allergy.
Yeah.
I can certainly find 15 minutes to walk a dog. I guess those are the people that I'm really yelling at here, is that you probably could find time to do this. You like dogs. Just help out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, just it'll make you feel good, you know, for nothing else.
Well, and we have upcoming events too that we need people to help with transport for the dogs. So
what other events besides the pup crawl?
So this coming Saturday, we've got a blood drive that we're doing as they give us $20 for every person that signs up. And it's going to be at I want to say it's new song, but I may be wrong about that. Check our Facebook page. You can see how to sign up for it. But,
and you can find River there also.
And then we're also opening our flea market this Saturday. So we're doing a special Saturday sale from 10 to 2. Okay. And we'll also have an adoption event at the same time. So there'll be dogs that are there as well as the...
Dogs at the flea market.
At the flea market, mm-hmm. Yep. As well as... And we're at 2302 Trent Road across from Epiphany next to Fuller Music.
Yep.
March 4th and 5th. So that Friday night and then Saturday, we'll be at PetSmart. It's their national adoption weekend.
March 4th and 5th, you said?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So we'll be out there. We'll need handlers to help with dog transport and being their buddy during the event. Mm-hmm. I think we're there from 5 to 7 Friday night.
We also need people to adopt them.
And people to come out and see them and adopt them and tell their friends, for sure. and then Saturday, I think we're there 11 to 2.
Okay.
And then we're going to be at the Home Expo that they do at the convention center. So the lady that organizes that gives us a booth every year.
That's nice.
And it's amazing. Like, we always get adoptions out of that because there's so many people at the event.
Right.
It's fantastic.
They're there something for their homes. Yeah. You know, what goes with great with a boat is, you know, a dog.
Exactly. You know, like... So we'll be there on April 2nd and 3rd, both that Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then we have, of course, our pup crawl on May 1st. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start getting out at PetSmart more on Saturdays, probably a couple times a month as the weather gets warmer. Mm-hmm. But again, all of our opportunities are on our events page on our Facebook.
Okay.
And usually there's a link of how you can sign up to be a volunteer at those events as well, because we always need those handlers and transport.
Yeah, and I think that's really, I mean, all kidding aside, I really think that's kind of the whole point of what I've been saying is that, okay, you can't adopt. You know, these are for dog lovers. It's like, okay, you can't adopt. I get it. Can you donate money? Can you buy something? Or can you consider buying, you know, maybe if you shop at secondhand,
we
can
have
you consider the flea market?
Wish list on Amazon.com and Chewy.com. So
Yes, I forgot about that actually. Yeah, because when I do that, because I signed up for the wish list.
Smile.amazon.com. So if you're an avid Amazon shopper, just go to smile.amazon.com when you do your orders. Select us as your charity. And then we get a kickback on all of your purchases. So there are so many ways to support us, even if you don't have time to commit.
I do like a fair amount of Amazon shopping. Yeah.
You can make us your
Because I get an email. I don't know if it's maybe the end of the month or like per quarter. I forget what it is, but it'll be from Amazon. And it's like... Hey, some of your purchases went toward, you know, but what I love is like showing the, like the total amount. And I'm just like, oh, like, you know, it's like $700 or whatever it is. You know, it's like, obviously I didn't contribute that.
That's usually like, about what we get every quarter is, between $600 and $700.
So it's once a quarter.
I think it's once a quarter.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So so every few months I'll get an email. It's like, hey, like, you know, you contributed to, and I'm looking, I'm kind of like, okay, like. My purchase has probably contributed like a dollar's worth or something, but I just look at the bottom number and I'm like, I was part of the $600 contribution.
It's cool.
Group myself with the larger.
And then even like cleaning out your closets, take your stuff to our flea market for resale. Mm-hmm. So there's so many ways to support us. And I have to say, like, our community here is amazing.
Right.
We put a call out for something and it's always answered. Mm-hmm. It's just, we're just so blessed and so supported. And the Animal Protective Services team that's a part of the Sheriff's Office now, we have a great partnership with them. They've been taking a dog out to kind of, you know, take on a ride along. They feature them on their Facebook page. They take them to the office. The sheriff plays with them and gets a photo op. And we've had a lot of success with getting some of our dog of the weeks adopted through just the visibility they get. And of course, just what they do for their community with all the animals that they help save. And they're so focused on education too. When they go out, it's about trying to help pet owners understand what that responsibility is, how to keep them safe, what that, you know, requirement is to keep them in, you know, a great environment where they're not, you know, stuck in the elements with no shade, no shelter, no water, no food.
Yeah.
And then when they find those injured dogs, you know, we've really been able to work with them on several to help rehabilitate them in a foster home instead of them, you know, being euthanized because they were injured. So
let's actually talk a little bit about the, because you were talking about, you know, the call to action and, you know, the community has been really, you know, helpful responding and stuff. That was one of the eye openers for me that came out, you know, again, doing this, this video here was, you know, how many dogs were displaced during Florence. So you had to basically move all of your dogs
that
are in the shelter.
So
you had to find a home for that. Yeah. Plus, on top of that, there was tons of dogs that were being displaced that you kind of end up inheriting to figure out, you know, how to solve their problems. Talk a little bit about the...
Yeah. Whenever, just in general, we have a hurricane that's going to be a category 2 or above, we evacuate the shelter, both cats and dogs. And so we have a lot of emergency fosters.
All the cats then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
We have a lot of emergency fosters that will take them for the storm event.
Okay.
And then
bring
them back.
They're not a sign up for like regular anytime. They're just kind of like, if you need me, you're desperate. I got
you. Mm-hmm. We do that during cold weather too. Like when we had the couple of nights that were 18 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah, we got all the dogs out too. So,
okay.
So we clear our shelter, and then obviously Florence was a lot worse than what we ever anticipated it being. So,
because you were probably not able to get back to the facility for at least a couple of days, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't like, all right, Thursday the hurricane ended, Friday put them all back in. Like there was some period of time where...
Well, Florence was like the hurricane that never ended. It was like 2 or 3 days of just the torrential rains and stuff. But the calls started coming in about animals that people, didn't evacuate. They started to get flooded. They had to leave. They left their animals. So,
and they were out of town. It wasn't like they could get back. They were just out of town.
There were a lot of rescues that happened, water rescues that happened. And then we got to a point where we needed an overflow space because there were so many animals. And so it actually has been demolished now, but the old Craven Animal Hospital, the old one that Dr. Campbell had, we were able to temporarily lease that and get a permit from the state to do a satellite facility to kind of help with the overcrowding problem. And I say about 10% of the animals that came in were reclaimed by their owners or were owners who were displaced. And while they were trying to find other housing options that would allow their pet, we kind of kept them safe and kept them with us until they could come back and get them.
You basically kenneled them then.
There were some that we did that too. And then others were just, abandoned. We were never able to reconnect them with their family.
So you're saying 10%, approximately how many dogs do you think came in that were just a guess, in the hundreds?
I don't know. Oh, gosh.
Like more than a few hundred?
No, probably. Well, you got to think it continued because people couldn't get back into their homes and they had nothing to do with their animals and they had no choice but to surrender them. So it continued for months. The aftermath of it wasn't just the overflow from the initial storm. Aftermath that we kept getting animals.
So they left their home for their own shelter, left the dog there thinking it might be a couple of days or something like that, realizing this is a bigger problem. They get back. They realize they can't live in their house anymore and they're dog was now rescued, so wherever they're staying at this point, what you're saying is they couldn't take that dog
correct.
In. So now they're really in a bind, is what you're telling
me. Yes. So we opened that facility in September of 18, and we had to keep it open until March. We were able to finally get the animals back into our regular facility.
And you're
March.
Saying only 10% of those animals went back to their
Yeah, roughly
home.
About 10%.
Wow.
So we doubled our adoptions that year. So in 2017 to 20, Florence happened in September of 18. So from the adoptions we did in 18 to 2019, we doubled our adoptions. If that gives you an idea of how many extra animals were out there. So I don't know that I could guess at how many totally came through the storm.
So that's kind of interesting though, because, while that sucked for that to happen, it almost... I guess if you look at a silver lining, I'm kind of
a lot of people learned about us
that's
that
right.
never
that's
knew
exactly
we
it.
Were there.
And yeah,
we
there's
were
a
able
lot of awareness
find,
now.
And we probably improved the home life of a lot of the animals that came to us with who their new homes were.
But just from an awareness standpoint, what other time period could you just double your adoptions without raising any extra money or awareness on your own merits?
And we sustained that. So we not only sustained that big number that we jumped in 2019, but we've improved on it every year since then. So it's just continued to grow.
And that sort of helped probably catapult of this because, back in 2017, you still had a problem of an older facility that you were kind of band-aiding still in 2017.
Yes.
But then, the latter half of 2018 and early 2019, it was kind of like, okay, we're literally doubling our operation now. We're doubling our output without having the proper, facility in place. So now that was kind of like, when did you start the thinking like, hey, we need to maybe figure out a way how to build this? Was that
the end of 2019?
Okay, so was that the 2019? Okay,
Those those last few months, we started thinking about, okay, how can we make this come to life? We had the kind of seed money to start thinking about it. So we started brainstorming how to put a capital campaign together because none of us really had experience with that. We found a local builder, local architect that were amazing to work with. And then all just kind of started coming together in 2020 to kind of launch.
Yeah.
So
I guess, that's probably it's probably a really good silver lining to come out of. I mean, obviously you want to, but things are just going to happen, you know? Yeah. So it's like they're out of your control. So it's like, if they're going to happen, it's like at least something really good came out of it. Except for the one dog that's still there, River. So River needs to go, but like go to like a good home. You know what I mean by that? Like, I obviously I didn't mean that in a cruel way. But yeah, so I guess that's kind of how I look at it then. So all right, so what else do we got? There was, I feel like, was there like another heading you had on your meticulous notes there?
We talked about adoptions, our APS partnership, volunteer opportunities.
So let me just kind of recap.
Okay.
How we can get involved, just because I'm going to put it in my own dumb layman's terms, so hopefully it'll make me remember, and then it might be easier for everyone, because we talked a lot about a lot of stuff here. So, first of all, you can adopt a pet. That's the first and foremost. That's the best way to really help.
Good home, in my opinion. Loving home, yes.
Good loving home. Can't adopt, that's fine. Donate. Give your money. Give your money either...
Money is always helpful.
Either, so there's basically two types of donations, what we're really talking about, though. So we're talking about donations to just keep the operation in place. Mm-hmm. And then there's a separate donation to help build their new facility. So those are really kind of the two things that are going on. So you got adopt a pet, donate money, or donate your
food.
Time.
You can donate food, too, from our wish list. So,
got it. So, so there's wish list items that they kind of need to get food or other supplies.
Cat litter.
And then there's donating your time. Mm-hmm. So you donate your time by being a volunteer, or I guess that's four things, or maybe a fifth thing then would be donating items to the flea market.
Yes.
So that would be kind of a fifth thing. And then I guess maybe even a sixth thing would be shopping at the flea market. That's sort of like, I would say it's different from donating your money, because now you're not just giving something in kind, you're also getting something back. So the sixth way, I guess, would be also shopping at the flea market. So there's six ways, and I mean, some of them are low cost or none, and they're just your time.
Share our Facebook post.
Okay, so that'd be a seventh way then. So share the Facebook post.
Yes,
so,
help our dogs.
So join the group and share the Facebook post.
Dogs and cats post, and we have some really...
Share just the dog post, though.
No, we have to get cats kidding. To get homes too, Brad.
I'm just kidding. I'm such a jerk. I'm just kidding. So yeah, so join the Colonial Capital Humane Society Facebook
We're on
group.
Facebook and Insta. At Colonial Capital Humane is our Insta, and then just Colonial Capital Humane Society
there
on Facebook.
There's 16,000 members in the group right now. So join the group. And if you find a cute dog and or cat, there I said it.
Thank you.
So if you can't adopt and you can't donate and you don't have anything to donate to the flea market, you can't shop at the flea market, you don't have any time to walk a dog or help with the volunteer,
hit the share button.
The share button, that's the least involved way you could do it, but it helps. Yes, so I guess
it does.
So everybody can share something. So today we better see a bunch of shares. Yay. Because everybody can at least just share the post. Find one dog or cat you think is cute and share the post. That's everybody's assignment today. I've given the world an assignment, and you better listen. Otherwise, I'm coming for you. I'm just kidding, but not really. I'm only serious. So just share you can share the Facebook post. So
awesome. And thanks to you for having us on today.
Yes.
And getting to talk about all the cool
That's
stuff
an eighth
that we get
way.
To do.
I fulfilled it. Yeah. Have them on your podcast.
Yeah, you did such a great job with their video. It just told our story so well.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's kind of a funny. I was considering playing, but it was like a little bit longer, and so maybe I'll share a link to it in the post is what I'll do. But that's that video is kind of like a common problem I end up having with these kind of like what I call like mini documentary, campaign videos. Like if I'm shooting like a product commercial, it's like, all right, yeah, I can make that 30 seconds or a minute. It's not very difficult. But there was a story behind this. And then so originally you give me this script and I'm like reading through it. I'm like, well, first of all, this isn't like 4 minutes. Like I think we originally planned for a 3 or 4 minute video. And I'm like, this is not 4 minutes. I can't even read it fast enough in 4 minutes, let alone visually telling the story.
Yeah.
And then there was other things that we kind of like included in it. And so I'm like, I think it ended up being like a 7.5 minute kind of thing or something like that. But there's just so much to it. Like everybody had kind of a topic. You know, even like as an example, the part where we had Sheriff, Chip Hughes on to talk about the partnership, I think his bit alone was like close to a minute. And it was just, there was nothing I really felt like I could remove, because everything he said, like he just said it so good that just really talked about why that partnership happened and why it had to happen and how it's really helped along. And I'm like, I can't remove anything out. Now, I did remove a lot, but it's like I couldn't remove any more. And so that's what ends up happening is I tell people, this is a great example. The reason I'm bringing it up is people will come to me a lot asking like, oh, I just want like a quick 30-second video for like social media or something like that. And it's just like, I don't know, are you trying to attract people with 30-second attention spans, or are you trying to, like, who are you trying to attract? Because I don't know about you, but I can watch an hour and a half movie, you know, or I can watch a 30-minute documentary on, you know, that cat killer on Netflix or something.
Yeah.
Like, people get involved in stuff if the story is told properly. That's kind of my point. So I just say, just make the video as long as it needs to be, and we'll figure out the rest.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the time. If the video ends up being 10 minutes on Facebook, then it's 10 minutes on Facebook or YouTube, or then you chop it up or do whatever. But that story needs to be told. That's how long we need the video to be.
Yeah, it was great.
Tell the story.
It was great. And it's on our, there's a link on our Facebook page under the featured section, and then it's also on our website as well.
Yeah.
So check
maybe
it out.
Watch it. Maybe we should, I'll link to it, and then I'll have to watch it too. I haven't watched it in a while.
Check it out.
Yeah. All right, well, that about does it. So who do we got for 58 there, Claire? Oh, okay. So that's in a couple weeks?
Yeah, that'll be on March the 9th.
Okay, great. I'll have to set a timer for that because we both can definitely talk. So, yeah, okay. So, all right. So, Hope, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And Diane, again, thank you so much for stopping in. I know your time is precious also. So, I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to this pop crawl. I'm going to see if I can maybe get involved in it. And then a couple of weeks, going to get myself a brick.
Awesome.
And then I'm going to get the application. And maybe I'll do some dog walking. So it'll be good for me.
Fantastic.
Selfishly. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay. All right. That about does it. Appreciate everyone. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, guys.
So I think the mics are muted again.
Awesome.